Just a reminder, there's a sermon outline inside your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in it that way. Well, maybe you can relate to this. There was a man whose backyard was being taken over by moles. Ever had that problem? I have, certainly at my own homes. But the yard looked a lot like Swiss cheese. Holes were everywhere, mounds of dirt, raised tunnels. And this guy, he went to war. He was determined to beat that mole or moles. And so he put out rodent poison in their tunnels. He set up traps with trip wires. He put spikes in the ground. He did everything he could think of. He tried flooding the tunnels with water. He whacked the moles as they came out. He tried to anyway. And then he also tried to gas them out, connecting a tube from the exhaust of his car and sticking that in the holes as well. But that didn't work either. He was determined to get rid of those moles, to put an end to them once and for all. He tried everything that he could think of, but do you think he solved the problem? No, they were back again. And I don't know which is worse, the moles or all the dog holes. One of my dogs is really into the moles. She's like the little huntress of moles, I guess. If you need a dog for hire, mine is available. I can't guarantee, my backyard is full of holes because of the moles and the dog. But anyway, she does get her target every time. But and so you're walking around, there's holes everywhere. And that's what sin does, doesn't it? You know, deep ruts of guilt, dug up sin, uneven patches of pain, wounds we carry with us, and things that happened years ago but feels just like they happened yesterday. And yet our God is determined to root out those moles in our life, the moles of sin that are still prevalent everywhere, those deep tunnels that we dig for ourselves, paths that we wander. He is there. You know, we need a warning sign, right? And when we walk in backyards like this, danger, a danger zone ahead. But yet God sees every hole in our lives. He knows every wound that we carry, every crevice. And yet, He loves you anyway. That's the kind of God that we follow, that we've been exploring and looking at these past weeks in this series, Oh, How He Loves, looking at the love that God has for us, the width, the depth, the breadth of the love that God has for you, all found in Jesus alone. If you remember last week, we looked at how God's love comes to us in many different ways. But the greatest way that that love comes to us is through Jesus on the cross. And yet, as we're zeroing in on the theme for tonight, our deepest need we're exploring this evening is to be rid of sin before God. Love that deals thoroughly, completely, fully, wholly with sin. Sin separates, doesn't it? Sin kills. That's what sin does. It strains relationships. It separates us from others, and it separates us from God. We mess up. We dig holes. We're good at digging holes, aren't we? We've got it down to an art form. We are a lot more like moles than we would like to admit. We wander. We sin. And yet our text tonight is a brief Old Testament word from Micah. And we're at the end of the book, and it's a hymn talking about the uniqueness of God, like a doxology of His grace and His forgiveness for us, His children, as we see in verses 18, the second half of 18 and verse 19. Let's read it together. You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Beautiful words, aren't they? Words of a hymn, a song, a doxology that's sung over us, spoken over us tonight, into the holes that we dig, the wounds that we carry. These are wonderful, comforting, powerful words. But yet the book of Micah, if you've read the book of Micah, is not all sunshine and roses. There are certainly lots of holes filled throughout the book. And so God sends Micah to send a word from God to rescue the people. They had their own mole problems within the people of God at the time, digging into unbelief, wandering from the Lord, mounds of the rich oppressing the poor. Political rulers and religious leaders had become corrupt and greedy, thinking of themselves and not the body of the Lord. The people were looking to false gods and idols to answer their problems, tunneling away, digging away, away from the Lord. And yet Micah warns God's people that judgment is coming. This sinfulness had to be paid for. And that time of judgment, it came. It came during Micah's time. The northern kingdom, Israel, is wiped off the map. The southern kingdom, Judah, is almost wiped out. And Micah speaks strong words of warning, a threat almost, and yet peppered in the midst of these harsh words, the words we heard tonight, words of hope, of forgiveness and life. A new ruler and king would be born in Bethlehem, were some of these words. They sound familiar to you? A king being born in Bethlehem? I wonder who that could be. But yet God himself takes the problem of sin in his own hands. It's like the old story about a little boy and the father, the dad. They're driving down a country road one day on a beautiful spring afternoon. And out of nowhere, a bee flew inside of the car. I don't know if you've ever been driving along and you get a bee in your car. It's like the world stops and goes in slow motion. But this is what happened. A bee flew into the car, and the boy, not only was he afraid of the bee, but he's also deathly allergic to bees. And so he was doubly afraid to see this bee buzzing around inside the car, and he became scared. The father quickly reached out. As you can imagine, he grabs the bee and squeezes it in his hand and then releases it. And when he let it go, the son became scared again. Well, why? Because the bee was still buzzing around inside the car. And so the dad saw the panic on the son's face, and once again, the dad reached out his hand, but this time he pointed to his hand. And there, stuck in his hand, in his skin, was the stinger of the bee. As the father goes on to say, "Do you see this? You don't need to be afraid anymore. I have taken the sting for you." That's the message of Micah tonight. That's the message of Lent and Easter, how Jesus has taken the stinger of sin, death, and the grave for us once and for all. There's no need to fear death anymore. Jesus faced death and took death, our death, upon himself. By his victory, we are saved from sin. The mole paths actually become a road to victory, don't they? As we see Paul say similar words in 1 Corinthians 15, these familiar words, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" I want to pause there for a second. I say this at most every funeral service that I lead. I share this verse because it's a powerful verse. "And where, O death, is your sting?" In the Greek language, the word for sting is scorpizo. What English word do you hear when you hear the word scorpizo? Scorpion, right? Because that's where we get our English word for scorpion. And certainly in times of death, we feel that sting of loss. But the good news on a night like tonight is that through Christ, that stinger has been removed. And that's what Paul goes on to say. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." Let's join together. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus takes the stinger for us. He is risen. The fear is gone. New life is ours. It's ours. You know, it's as if Jesus is playing whack-a-mole with Satan. Yeah, that's an interesting picture to get in your head, isn't it? But yet, that's precisely the image we see being painted by Micah in our text tonight, that God's anger won't last forever as he deals with our sin in a dramatic and vivid way. As you read Micah, as we heard a moment ago, the picture he paints is a powerful one, that all the nations of the earth will stream to God. And as they stream to God, they're coming to him. And so the question is, what does God do with their sin? What does God do with their brokenness? And what he does with it is he shows them how great his love is for us as well. Micah says that God's going to grab a hold of them, their sin, and throw it to the ground. And do you remember what it said in the text he does next? He treads on the sin. He treads on it under his feet. Have you ever thought about God's feet and how big they were? He's going to take their huge sin and trample it under his foot. The Lord has enormous feet, God-sized feet, ginormous feet. In fact, the man who holds the world record for the largest feet is Robert Wadlow, who wore size 37 AA shoes. That's measured about 18 and a half inches. Picture that, bigger than a ruler for sure. And those are some big shoes, but yet God's feet are bigger. And he will stomp your sin and brokenness and guilt and shame into nothing. Every shred gone. Every bit smashed. Once and for all. As Paul says in Romans 6, let's join together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as Micah uses vivid language to describe how God deals with sin, he's not the only one who does so. We see other examples of it scattered and peppered throughout Scripture. The Bible uses a host of images as well, not just trampling under the feet. He uses images like removing and covering and purifying and refining and blotting out and washing. And one of my favorites is in Jeremiah, where it says he will remember our sins no more. And in one of the most dramatic twists, he doesn't just speak forgiveness and words of forgiveness over our lives. He does it. He sends his own son to die. You know how the story goes. As Scripture reminds us, he became sin who knew no sin, to restore the broken relationship that stood between us and the Heavenly Father, for the mole holes that we dig in our hearts and in our lives. Sin is a serious thing. Remember what Paul says about sin? The wages of sin is death. We deserve death. But the good news is God doesn't leave us in that place. We are not left in that hole. God steps in with his big feet of grace as we are thoroughly, completely, wholly forgiven in Jesus. And this is where the rubber meets the road tonight. It means that we live life bathed in the forgiveness of Jesus. Our home is bathed in Jesus. Our family is bathed in Jesus. Our work and school and this church is bathed in the blood of the Lamb, soaked in Jesus from head to toe and toe to head, every bit of us. And at times, we are called to look into a mirror, to consider maybe as we look in that mirror, is there something in me that I need to ask God for forgiveness for? It's easy to see, as Jesus says, and it's easy to see the speck in someone else's eye when we've got a log dangling in our own, preventing us from seeing and living clearly. And yet, Jesus has a shovel, and he chips away at our hearts and our lives, because sin hurts. Brokenness is messy. And think about how sin was dealt with in the Old Testament, through sacrifice, right? When the priest would come and make an animal sacrifice with blood, something had to die for that forgiveness to come to his people. The Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world for you and me and all creation. I love this quote that said, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me." It's time for us to look into a mirror. That's what Lent does. That actually is, in some ways, it's what the cross is, isn't it? As we look at the cross in many ways is a mirror into our lives. Because as we look at the cross, we are reminded of our own pasts, our own mole holes that we've got going on within us. But praise be to God, He Himself takes our sin, our brokenness and shame in His own hands like that Father did, where it stays. And the stinger has been removed through grace. The mole's gone, the rut's trampled under His feet, the tunnels filled. Those big feet of God's grace are glorious, aren't they? And they are good. As Paul reminds us in Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Where He will trample your sin underfoot once and for all. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Your sin that separated you from God is gone. Completely, fully, and wholly forever. And what remains between you and God is His enormous love. Father, we come before You. We thank You for that love, that grace that You do show to us and give to us in Jesus. As we approach Your cross once again in Holy Week, in just a few short weeks away, we pray that You would lead us to see and to reflect upon the depth of the love that You have for us. It is deep. And how through the cross You are trampling our sin underfoot once and for all. Thank You, Father, for that gift of love, how You deal thoroughly, completely, fully, and wholly with our sin. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.